Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 12th and final round.
Right hand, Golovkin steps in and down he goes again. Unbelievable. Mayweather makes him pay. What a rookie mistake. A sensational left hook by De La Hoya.
It's facts. I'm the best. You know what I mean? Sometimes I don't want to believe in myself, but it's the truth. I'm the best.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
From Southern California, this is the Last Round Podcast.
TLR 26. And Mike has a Roberto Duran shirt on, who was dancing his ass off at the weigh-in last weekend, just having the time of his life.
Stole the show.
I thought he was drunk, but I don't think so. I think he was just drunk on life.
Just happy to be there.
Just happy to be there, man. Was it Jay Leon Love and David Benavidez going head-to-head right there? And then he's just dancing right there in the background. Roberto Duran. But once again, the last round, number 26. Thanks for tuning in. Probably the biggest, coming off the biggest weekend so far in boxing. At least in terms of promotion, hype, and names. All that stuff, names. But we still have a long way to go. We're only in March. So we still have, 9-10 months left in the year? So there's probably a lot of fights that haven't even been announced yet that they're probably thinking about. So, but starting with this past Friday, the 15th, another DAZN card. DAZN just doesn't stop, man.
Every weekend, pretty much.
It does not stop. It's not DAZN, people. It's DAZN. DAZN, DAZN. Hey, is that an acronym? Doesn't it stand for something? I thought I read somewhere that DAZN that each letter stands for something.
Google.
Yeah, you're right. I'll look at it later. But once again, Friday the 15th from, help me out here. Leakura Center?
That's how I would go with.
Leakura Center in Philadelphia, PA. Tevin Farmer, who's trying to get Gervonta Davis in the ring, gets the unanimous decision win over John O'Carroll. By scores of 117-111 twice and 117-110. And this was for the IBF World Super Featherweight title, which was Farmer was defending it, who said after the fight on Twitter that he's the most active world champion right now. Do you believe it?
Him or Jaime Munguia.
They're neck and neck.
I would say so.
They're neck and neck.
Tevin Farmer, though, has been fighting people really,
that's true,
below his own level,
but in terms of activity
he's up there, obviously, with Jaime Munguia. You know, Munguia was very active last year, but obviously some of those were before he actually had the title.
That's true. But even after the title, they are active.
I mean, he's got another fight coming up, so
yeah, they are active. But like I said, Tevin Farmer gets the unanimous decision when retaining his World Super Featherweight IBF crown. What'd you think, Mike? What did you think of his performance?
I thought we both obviously went for Farmer last week.
It was
a good performance from him. You know, he was very accurate. You know, you could see that his skills were a lot levels above John O'Carroll. You know, John O'Carroll just came in really kind of just very straightforward, just going in for a lot of volume punching. You could see some of the rounds he kind of forgot to move, just came in a bit of a punching bag.
That was John O'Carroll's first loss too, right?
Yeah, I think it was his first loss. He had that draw just before the fight with back home in England. So, you know, he threw a lot of punches. I think it was 1,109 punches compared to Farmer's. I think he's around 1,000. So you could see it's really
high output
for both of them, really. But I thought Tevin Farmer won it quite easily.
Yeah. I mean, he was obviously the heavy favorite.
Yeah, he went in as favorite, and you could see Carroll just kind of went in there and decided that he would try, you know, beat him down. Farmer's just really too skillful on his feet, too light-footed, and a better defense, really. I thought he
was Farmer looked good, though. I
would like to have seen Farmer get him out of there, you know, even in the summer, couple of rounds. I was kind of like, this fight's kind of over. He was already 9-10 rounds up, but
I think it was
you know,
cruise control kind of.
Carroll wanted to really go in out on his shield, I think. I don't think he really had that one punch power to get Farmer out of there, but no. I think he wanted to see those 12 rounds out.
Just like Mikey.
Yeah, similar to, you know, what Mikey did, really. Hopefully we'll see the Javonte Tank Davis fight in the future. They've both been going at it on social media for a while. Tyron Farmer kind of touched on it after the fight, saying he's interested in it for the right deal, right amount of money. I would personally favor Davis. I think Davis would be too powerful for him.
Honestly, I could see it happening because they can convince Davis and PBC can convince Farmer to come over to Fox or Showtime to fight because Davis is just a bigger name.
Yeah, definitely.
And Farmer has a world title.
It'd be good, a little unification. WBA, is it? And WIBF?
Yeah. I think Davis should try to make that fight.
Now, I think as long as Floyd doesn't, for some reason, get involved and, you know, say to him, like, hey, you know, I can get you some good money, find someone, you know, not as good as Tevin Farmer. They've been going at it on social media for so long that
I know, but the concept of unification does sell. I mean,
oh, definitely.
Look at what they do with Lomachenko, and then, you know, it and then Crawford when he fought Ndongo, even though people knew Ndongo was overmatched.
Mm-hmm.
It was a unification fight. You know, there's an appeal behind it.
Oh, definitely. It's definitely a fight that I think we all want to see. It's going to be really more of a, you know, volume puncher, skill wise, fleet of foot Farmer against a wrecking machine in Javonte Davis.
Yeah, that kid's crazy.
It's just, you know, hopefully Davis makes weight, takes it serious and stuff like that, because, you know, some of the fights he goes in there, he looks a little soft.
A little sluggish.
You know, he's out partying too much.
S-A-W-F-T.
He's out there drinking too much with Broner.
With Broner.
Those guys.
Having the time of his life. They were probably having the time of their life in Dallas, too. They were all there. The party was in Dallas this past weekend.
Was it hashtag living my best life?
Living my best life, man. Living my best life. But I think Jojo Diaz, Golden Boy's Jojo Diaz, was even trying to call out Tevin Farmer, too.
He's been calling everybody out.
He's been calling everybody out. Like the last two, three Cancio. Days, he would Jojo Diaz, I don't know what was going on with him. I don't know if he was like on speed or something, and he was just all over the place, but He was on a Twitter war like with everybody. He was just calling out everybody. Javonte Davis, Tevin Farmer. I think you name it, he was calling them out.
Yeah, he has been ever since you know, Cancio won the title. He was jumped on Cancio. Hey, let's do it again, obviously, because he beat him last time. So some good fights, though. I actually wouldn't mind seeing
any of those.
Do you think
he's kind of jealous of Cancio? He's just like,
yeah,
man.
Definitely. Yeah, he beat him to a world title.
This guy's got a world title, and I beat him a couple years ago. And
would be if I was him.
And so he probably just got frustrated. He's like, I mean, I'm gonna call all these guys out. I'm gonna make it happen because, you know, obviously I can't get these fights, you know. I think that's what happened, man. I think he just got frustrated. He's like, you know what? I'm calling him out.
It seems to work, though. I mean, how many people have gone from, you know, obscurity to talking their way into title shots?
That's true.
You know?
That's true. Who's the most famous person who did that? Who comes to mind?
Who comes to mind? I can think of a UFC fighter who did it, like Colby Covington. You know, he was in
there. That's true.
He just jumped from nobody, started opening his mouth, shouting stuff off. Then, you know, he got his way in there.
It happens.
Yeah.
The power of social media. The power. Moving on that card. Eddie Hearn's favorite fighter, Katie Taylor, improves to 13-0 with a TKO stoppage in round number 9 against Rose Volante. And this was for the IBF, WBA, WBO World Lightweight titles. I mean, Katie Taylor is obviously the real deal, which is why she's Eddie Hearn's favorite fighter. And he says that she's his favorite fighter out of men and women.
I don't know. You mean,
but do you think he's just being a promoter?
Tony Bellew's retired, so, you know. And that's probably why, you know, those two used to have like a little love affair, it always looked like.
Eddie Hearn, man. Doing his promoter. Is that really his favorite fighter, or is he just doing the promotional side of things?
He's doing his promotional side of things. You know, it was a good performance from her again. You know, another workman-like performance. Rose Volante came out, tried to kind of like go in there and try to dominate her early on, and she got caught early.
In the first round, she went down.
Yeah, Taylor caught her early on, put her down, and then you could see after that, Volante was kind of like, okay, you know, I'm going to stay back a little bit, because she'd obviously tasted the power that, you know, Katie Taylor had. It was nice to see, you know, a women's fight with that actually had a stoppage in, instead of going, you know, most of the time you watch them and they always go to points. So I thought Taylor was good footwork. She, you know, moving in and out of range, landing the shots, and then, you know, getting back out of danger. She's definitely probably one of my favorite female fighters. I think I like her style.
Right, yeah. I'm a fan.
You know, she sits down on her punches a lot more, coming from the amateur scene, but she's already kind of learned to sit down on her punches. That's why I think she's getting people out of there a lot more than the other girls. I would like to see, she's got the unification to pretty much mop up all of the titles against Delphine Persoon, I believe, is the only title she needs to get, which is the WBC champion. So hopefully, Eddie Hearn can get that made in the near future. She can win that and then hopefully move up and, at a catch weight, fight Cecilia Brækhus, is the one that everyone wants to see.
Can that happen?
You know what? I'm hoping.
I'd favorite Katie Taylor in that.
I think she should do. She's younger. Cecilia Brækhus has kind of been the world champion for a long time.
I'd favorite
Katie
Taylor.
So only really now that women's boxing's taken off and, until a few years ago, I wouldn't have been able to name you really that many female boxers.
Right,
now, obviously, you've got Clarissa Shields, Heather Hardy.
There's a platform now that they're getting, which is definitely
getting a lot stronger. So just see, have to wait and see who's going to get there first. Is Clarissa Shields going to get there and be the big name, or is it going to be Katie Taylor?
I think they're both fighting for it right now.
Exactly.
I think it's going to be Shields first, but then Katie Taylor's going to get right there and.
I think people are going to take to Katie Taylor more, though, because I think, me personally, Clarissa Shields is really, you either love her or you hate her.
But sometimes, actually, not sometimes, a lot of the time, that builds business, man.
Floyd Mayweather.
That builds Broner.
Yeah, people, love to hate them.
Yeah, so, hey, so, it could work, man. She could probably get some pretty good paydays if it keeps going like that. So, but also on that card, which was the fight of the night. This was an exciting fight,
We called it.
It was an exciting fight. Selecki gets the unanimous decision win over War King Gabe Rosado, who's fought everybody, literally has fought everybody from like super welterweight to like super middleweight. He's fought everybody. Selecki did knock down Rosado initially. And then Rosado comes back and knocks him down, and it's just like, what the hell, man? Hey, that was a fun fight. I watched it live. That was a fun fight.
Yeah, I watched it live. We kind of said last week that we thought this was going to probably be the fight of the night. Two guys that really just went in there and brawled it out. Gabe Rosado doesn't know any other style.
He does not.
And been in his hometown where he hadn't fought for, I think it was like 7 years. He wanted to put on a good show. He got knocked down early on, came back and knocked Selecki down twice in the ninth, and was looking to try and get him out of there. I thought Selecki really put rounds in the bank early on. You could see he went in there, just tried to box Rosado, tried to stay away, because Rosado really just every fight he wants to turn into a war.
He has a fan-friendly style. Like, he knows it, man.
Yeah, he does. I thought it was close. I thought it was closer than they had it on the cards. I thought Rosado maybe was going to sneak it just because he was in his hometown. And
I thought that was going to happen, especially after he knocked him down twice in the ninth.
Yeah, I thought those knockdowns, I thought maybe he swung it his way. But the judges, were kind of fair on the night. I thought Selecki maybe did the slicker work, especially in the early rounds. But, every time Rosado connected, the fans just went crazy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I did wonder whether that was going to sway the judges towards him.
And he was good. He had that adrenaline pumping when the first knockdown he got.
Yeah, he did.
He was he's all about it, man. He was just like, yeah, let's do it.
A few more seconds maybe in that ninth round, and it could have been TKO.
Yeah, if he would have had just a little bit more, he could have won it.
So Selecki's probably going to go on and face Andrade, according to Eddie Hearn.
That makes sense.
I think Andrade will be too good, too skillful, would be too much for Selecki.
You think so? I think that's kind of an intriguing fight.
It's an intriguing fight, definitely. But I think Andrade will be too slick, too clever.
Yeah.
I think his boxing IQ will be too high for Selecki.
Yeah.
Selecki struggled in a few of those rounds against Gabe Rosado, whose boxing IQ is...
Well, because he's the king.
Very low, just because he's more
Rosado's,
of a warrior.
Rosado's the original king of boxing.
That's it.
I'm not talking about King Ryan Garcia. I'm talking about King Gabe Rosado.
I'd like to see that fight.
Yeah. Let's throw those two together.
For the moniker of king.
Let's... Does Ryan move up? Or does Gabe Rosado move down for that fight?
Ryan moves up.
Ryan moves up to what? 160 pounds?
Eric Gomez, give us a call. We'll make it.
King Gabe Rosado versus King Ryan Garcia.
The loser has to get a new moniker.
The loser has to get a new moniker. Loser loses the moniker match. hey, if that really happens, or even if they even talk about it where they kind of entertain it, everybody knows where that started. Mm-hmm. Right here on TLR, the last round. The Battle of the Kings. Loser loses a moniker. WWE style. And then moving on, Saturday. The most prominent fight of the year so far from AT&T Stadium in front of 47,525 fans, which is actually
that's good.
Two days before, they had said they had sold 30,000 tickets. So that means, you know, almost 20,000 more people showed up, you know, the next Friday and Saturday, or they bought tickets, they came through. So that's a very, very, that's a very, very good attendance record. Cause I think Canelo, when he fought Liam Smith there, was that like at 51 or 52,000. So it wasn't that much difference. So I think that's a success. Errol Spence, just like I told you, Mike, just like I told you, gets the unanimous decision win. Actually, it wasn't just like I told you. I thought he was going to stop him, but he got the win anyways. Errol Spence Jr. gets the unanimous decision win and remains undefeated, as he just outclassed Mikey Garcia, who suffered his first professional loss, 39-1. Spence gets the scorecards of 120, 107, 120, 108 twice and retains his IBF World Welterweight title. I'm going to let you start here.
Well, I couldn't have been more wrong. I think I definitely underestimated Errol Spence's boxing IQ. You could see that early on what Spencer wanted to do. He used, you know, he had the bigger reach, but it wasn't, you know, substantially bigger, but he, you know, he tried to keep him away. Every time Mikey really, the only way he could get any points and the only way he was really going to win the fight was to come in close. But Mikey, really, his normal, natural way of fighting is actually similar to Spencer's. It's kind of like keep them on the outside. Spencer was just too quick, too long. His footwork was a lot more superior than Garcia's. Every time Garcia would try to come in, you could see that Spence had already anticipated it, took a little step back, boom, just clocked him pretty much all the time. After a while, you could see that kind of Mikey was kind of lost. He didn't really know what to do because he was like, right, okay, I think it was around the fourth round. He kind of thought, you know, I'm going to have to try and get the fight in close. So Mikey tried to do it. I think it was the fourth round, the fourth or fifth round. He tried to do it, but it's just not his natural game.
No,
you know, he tried to come inside and, you know, tried to rough him up a little bit. Then after a while,
he had some success fighting on the inside a little bit.
But it's not his style, is it?
But it's not his style. And Spence was able to adjust to that.
Yeah, it seemed that way. And then from there, Mikey Callum was lost. You could see the punch output. Errol Spence threw, what was it, like over 1,000 punches. Mikey threw.
That was the highest, the most punches he's ever thrown in a fight. I think that's what they said. And it was also the most punches landed on Mikey Garcia out of all his opponents as a pro.
Mikey was just, to be honest with you, it was really bad performance. He was just overmatched. Early on, Spence worked him out.
But I mean, like, come on, man. Like, people, you know, there's examples here. Rigondeaux moves up from 122 to 130 to fight Loma, and look at what happens. Outclassed. It was just ridiculous. Marquez moved up to fight Mayweather, and Marquez was a smaller guy. And yeah, Marquez tried to, you know, do his thing, but Mayweather just outclassed him. You know, I saw another example. Somebody moving up in weight. I mean, it's there, man. Like, I told you, Spence, like, I get it. Mikey, obviously, you know, the promotion behind the fight did its job.
Swayed a lot of people.
It swayed a lot of people. That, you know, a lot of even boxing experts picked Mikey. Yeah. Like, you know what? I'm going Mikey. And yeah, you know, I it's not that Mikey didn't have the ability, but it was just like, it's a great little guy fighting a great big guy. It's not a great little guy fighting an average big guy. Like, they're both great. And I'm telling you, man, Spence is just like, you know, like Mikey was saying after the fight, that, you know, he went 12 rounds with, you know, the most dangerous welterweight in the world. Like, yeah, you know, that's what he has to hold on to. But, I mean, you know, I think I saw somebody said on Twitter, I forgot, I saw it earlier today, because Mikey, I think, landed like, I don't know, 74, 75 punches. And that was the price of the pay-per-view here in the United States. So somebody was like, all you people who bought the pay-per-view paid a dollar for each punch that Mikey landed, which is actually pretty funny. And that was like, you know, he landed, I think he, what was it, 74, 75 punches out of like 400. That was abysmal. Just ridiculous. And then Spence landed like 345 out of like 1,100 or something like that.
Yeah, you could see, you know, Spence literally threw like 2.5 times the amount of punches that Mikey did.
Spence's jab and his reach was just too much. And Mikey was just trying to, like, he was compact, because he always tries to stay compact and try to find his moments. Mm-hmm. And it just wasn't working. Like, every time he would try to do something, Spence would keep him away with his jab and then just, you know, come with the 1-2 or get that body work. And I think Spence did try to knock him out, or did try to at least drop him. But I mean, like, you know, you got to give credit to Mikey in that he did take his shots, you know. And if you remember on the broadcast, they did say that, I think in the 9th round, Robert Garcia did tell Mikey, hey, you know, I'm going to stop this fight. You know, how do you feel? Like, and Mikey was like, no, I'm all right. Like, I think he knew, like, I just need to finish this fight. You know, I think after the 5th or probably the 6th, or halfway through the fight, I think Mikey knew, okay, I'm not going to beat this guy.
He just had no plan B, it seemed. It seemed that, like, he just literally the whole, even though Spence had worked him out with that little half step and then just coming around the side.
Hey, know, Spence looked good.
Spence looked really good. He knew early on, he kind of sussed Mikey out. Mikey had no plan B, no plan C. And he just dominated him. Yeah. And I think really Spence could have maybe have stepped it up and taken him out of there. But I think maybe just, you know, the kind of mutual respect between the two. Just let him see them out. The only one thing I can think we can take from that, you know, in favor of Mikey is he dared to be good. You know, like, hey, we complain all the time about people not fighting other names and other divisions and unifying stuff.
I give the
credit.
I don't care about anybody else talking crap about it. I give the credit, man. Yeah. I give the credit.
No one was calling for that fight.
No.
No one was, because of the weight divisions between them.
A lightweight had to move up two divisions to fight the most dangerous guy in the division, because nobody else wanted to fight him.
He risked his 39-0.
I mean, I get it, because, like, I had talked to people who, you know, family members or friends and stuff like that. Like, as a fighter, and especially as a Mexican American, you know, saying that he has, you know, wants to fight like that for legacy, like, he should have went out on a shield and just let loose and stuff. I mean, in a sense, that makes sense. That's kind of true. But, you know, I think if he would have did that, he would have lost that firefight, because Spence obviously would have unloaded on him.
Yeah.
And I think Mikey knew that. Like, I think he knew, like, he said, like, oh, yeah, he never hurt me. I mean, which is, you know, likely true. But, like, obviously he felt his power. He's like, okay, you know, this kid has power. So if I get in a firefight with him, he's going to get me. So, you know, I think after a while, like, you know, I'm just glad that it didn't turn out to be like, that's what I was talking about. Kell Brook. Look at Kell Brook moving up from welterweight to 160 pounds. Because why? Because nobody wanted to fight Triple G. All these guys moving up, you know, like.
Look what it did to him, you know.
And look, yeah. And that's what I wanted to tie it into, in terms of Kell Brook after that was never the same.
No.
You know, even when he fought Spence, like, you know, he gave Spence like some trouble, but his eye socket from the Triple G fight was already messed up. And then Spence messed up the other eye socket, and it was just too much. It was just too much. And I think Mikey probably knew, like, you know, Kell Brook wasn't the same after that with the Triple G fight. And he probably thought about the same. He's like, oh, you know, I don't want that to happen to me against Spence. You know, because Mikey's still in his prime, and he has a lot of money fights he can make.
It's one of those questions. I think I actually put this out on Twitter like months and months and months ago. Is, you know, as a coach or even as a fighter, do you think to yourself, you know what, I'm going to go for it, go out on my shield, or do I live to fight another day?
Yeah, I mean, that's a question.
Essentially,
that's a question that you have to ask yourself. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, people, I get it, like, especially when it's a pay per view like this. Like, mm-hmm. I paid $75 for this, and yeah, I wanted my money's worth and stuff. I mean, I get it, but, like, you know, you have to ask yourself, like, I mean, yeah, do you want to be entertained at him going on his shield and just taking a bunch of punishment, and then it's just like he's never the same anymore, and then, like, he kind of just fades off into existence? Or, you know, do you want him to be at least, you know, cautious and at least finish the fight to not take as much punishment, and he can still go back down to the lighter weight divisions where that's his natural weight, and still give us some good fights. I mean, he could still, obviously, the Lomachenko fight is still there, even though there's politics in there. Like, that's still a great fight.
Yeah.
You know, that's still a great fight. I mean, you can't tell me, like, you know, people, like, you can't tell me, like, Lomachenko would move up to 147. I mean, he knows. Like, you know, he picked Spence. He was like, it's just too big of a jump. You know, like, I get it. Like, it's just like how people were talking crap from when Mayweather was still active. Oh, he should move up to 160 and fight Triple G because around that time, Triple G's name was starting to become very prominent. Like 2014, 2015, because Triple G's name started getting mentioned around Canelo. So people started to know who Triple G was. And then obviously, you know, when the mainstream, the casual fans started knowing who you are, oh, Mayweather should fight him. Mayweather can beat him. Like, come on, man. Like, eventually, like, you're going to, you know, you can't go high. That's why weight classes exist. They exist for a reason, you know? It's just like, I mean, I get it. You know, it was disappointing because, like, you know, Mikey obviously has talent and people wanted to see it. But, like, you know, he just got outmatched, man. Like, Spence is an Olympian, man. He was 2012 Olympian. He's the IBF welterweight world champion. He's, in my opinion, he's the most dangerous welterweight out there.
Like, it's looking like it. I mean, I'd like to see.
And I think he beats Crawford. Yeah. I think he beats Crawford, man.
Episode 26, write that down, guys.
He beats Crawford. I put that down, man. He beats Crawford.
I don't think we'll see the Manny Pacquiao fight.
And I've said that before, too. Even before this fight, I've said that Spence beats Crawford.
Do you think we see that next, or do you think we see Sean
Potter? Thought it was funny when Pacquiao got guided there. I thought it was hilarious because, like, during the post-fight, Spence is giving the post-fight right there with the interviewer, who sucked, by the way. Her questions suck, you know? I mean, like, you know, credit to her doing a pro, but, like, that Fox broadcast team.
Yeah, this was all over the social media. Sucked. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
They sucked.
For a pay-per-view as well?
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, I get it. They try throwing the Fox music and all that stuff, but, you know, I hope they take the...
It wasn't polished.
I hope they take this feedback and they try to add some flavor to it next time or something, because, like, yeah, that wasn't... The commentary team was not good at all, and it just wasn't working. Wasn't working at all. Hopefully, Jim Lampley's contract at HBO ends soon.
Roy Jones Jr., get him over there.
Or Roy Jones Jr. Hey, pick up the HBO guys. I mean, you can't pick up Max, obviously. But, you know, when Lampley's contract's up at HBO, because he's actually still signed, which a lot of people don't know. I think he's still under contract with HBO, so that's why he's kind of just laying low. Hey, if once it's over, if he's still open to do commentary, or at least, you know, here and there.
I thought it was weird because, you know, Fox have been doing it for such a long time. And, you know, the DAZN guys, when they came in, I thought straight early on, I was like, I quite like this. It's pretty polished. You know, the guys who they had in there were pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, and Fox has been presenting sports and boxing for a long time. It's not like it's brand new to them.
Right.
So to really have their first big pay-per-view event, and, you know, everybody was trashing it all over Twitter, all over Instagram.
Right.
All over all the different types of social media. So I was kind of surprising because I was like, this isn't the first time they've presented boxing. It's just the first time they've done a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So you'd have thought it would just be the same product, just maybe a little bit bigger, a little bit more polished.
It wasn't.
See, it was surprising. It was bad.
Yeah, but whatever. You know, hopefully they take the feedback, whether it's bad or good, and they adjust. They adjust for the next one. Hopefully. Sometimes they won't. Sometimes people stay stubborn, and they're like, no, we're going to still keep doing it like that.
Do you think we'll see Spence Pacquiao then?
Well, that's what I was going to touch on really quick, is that when Spence was giving his post-fight interview, and then Pacquiao kind of walks away, and then Spence is like, oh, yeah, get over here. Kill Pacquiao. Come over here.
Sam Watson drags him back.
And then they put the camera on Pacquiao, and Pacquiao's taking a picture with, like, all these guys in the corner, like, as a group. I thought that was hilarious, but I was dying right there. Like, Spence is, like, telling him to come over here. Get Pacquiao over here. And the camera goes on Pacquiao, and he's taking a picture of the ring with all these guys. Like, I was dying right there. Then he gets him over. He's just like, oh, would you want to fight Spence? He's like, yeah, why not? Like, he doesn't care. He's just
I think he'd just be nice, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was just like, yeah, why not? You know? Of course, Pacquiao, you know, he's just going to say that. But obviously, if Mayweather comes out and says, like, oh, no, me and Pacquiao are going to fight, obviously Pacquiao's going to take the Mayweather fight, you know?
I don't think we'll see Manny Pacquiao and Spence. I think Spence, you know, is more likely to face maybe Terrence Crawford or Sean Porter.
I think Spence and Porter go at it.
Yeah, I think Spence is too big, too young for Pacquiao. I think Pacquiao's just looking for a lot of money for, you know, fights where he's not going to get generally, you know, hurt a lot. So he's probably looking at more like Floyd Mayweather, maybe even Keith Thurman.
I say Pacquiao Thurman happens.
Yeah, if we don't see Floyd, I think Thurman. Yeah.
I think Thurman gets it before Spence.
Definitely. I was going to say Mikey Garcia, but obviously now he got smoked by Spence. I don't think we'll see that. I think Mikey moves on to, who you said before, probably a Lomachenko.
Yeah.
Maybe even a Linares.
I would still like to see the Linares fight. Put Mikey Linares at 135 out here in LA.
Yeah.
Do it at the Forum or...
You know, Linares still has a name. He's still got a great resume. You know, Mikey's obviously got a name out in Southern California.
Yeah.
Has all the Mexican fans and stuff like that. So, and Mikey hasn't fought out here too much.
Right.
So I'm sure a lot of people want to see him.
Yeah. I still like that fight.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still a fan of Mikey. I get it. People are like, you know, disappointed and stuff, but I mean,
he dared to be great.
He dared to be great, man. He dared to be great. And you know, but there was a precedent, man. Rigo moving up to fight Loma. Loma outclassed him. Brooke to fight Triple G, and he just got demolished. He was never the same. Marquez moves up to fight Mayweather. He was, you know,
I get it, Danny. I was wrong. Okay.
You were wrong.
Okay.
You were wrong. You know, Spence Jr. Why is he the truth? Because of that. But, okay, here, last point on this fight. Does Spence move up in the pound for pound because of this fight?
I was thinking about this on the drive-in.
I think it's like half.
Maybe it's strange, isn't it? Because if Mikey had gone up and won,
he would have been number one.
He would have moved up a lot.
Yeah.
But because he was fighting the smaller person, you know, he really had all the physical attributes that gave him that advantage. I would agree. I think he moves up a little bit because he now has a legit name on his resume.
Right.
Whereas before, he really didn't.
Yeah, Ocampo was the number one. No, yeah, Kell Brook.
You know, Kell Brook, who was another person who obviously, you know, moved up. So I would say he does. I would say he needs to fight more names, more greats to really be number one.
Right.
He's absolutely behind me, to me personally. He's still behind maybe even Terence Crawford, who is someone else who I believe needs more names on his
absolutely
resume.
Yeah.
No, he's still behind your Canelos, your Lomachenkos. Yeah. Your Charles Martins.
The Prince.
Jeff Horn.
The Prince. But, you know, regardless, like, it doesn't, you know, Spence is still dangerous, man. Like, no, it's nobody's still not going to, you know, I think him and Porter go at it later this year. And he beats Porter.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Well, not that I hope he beats him, I hope we see the fight. Yeah,
but he beats Porter. He definitely beats Porter. Moving on on that card, going right through this card as quickly, because we do have a guest who's going to call in, and we'll get to it soon. David Benavidez stops Jay Leon Love in two rounds. He wants Anthony Durrell back to regain his WBC belt, which he got stripped of, was it last year or 2017, because he got popped for cocaine.
It was last year.
So he wants Durrell, and I think they're going to make that fight. I think they'll make that fight, but who knows? But I thought Benavidez looked pretty good. It was a pretty decent win. He did his thing, especially how Jay Leon Love was acting like throughout the fight week, like he was all, you know, the best thing.
He's dancing in his face.
So, and then real quick, Lewis Neary improves to 29-0 with 23 KOs as he gets the W over McJoe Arroyo, who was down four times in the fight. So
great win.
Great win.
Has some real power in his hands. You know, I'd love to see him fight someone like Inoue or even Rungvisai.
That'd be cool.
Great fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
SSR. Srisakit Sorungvisai. And then the final two on that broadcast, heavyweight fights. The Nightmare, Chris Areola, gets the stoppage in three rounds against Jean-Pierre Agustin. So the Nightmare, the 2009 who fought Klitschko, the Nightmare is back. You never know. He could.
He looked in good physical condition.
He looked pretty good.
Looked like he lost some weight.
So the Nightmare, Chris Areola, back in the mix, maybe.
I'll tell you one thing that Areola does well is when he fights those people.
He smokes a lot of weed.
Well, when he fights people around, you know, he's kind of like C level, D level.
Yeah.
He gets him out of there.
He does. Yeah, he does. He puts on the show and he does his thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's got a pretty solid record still, too, for 37-5-1. Pretty solid. And then your favorite and mine. The Prince, former IBF heavyweight champion of the world, Charles Martin gets the...
He's back.
The pound-for-pound best in the world is going to be number one by the end of the year. He gets the disqualification win, actually, after repeated low blows.
He can do everything.
He can do everything, man. Over Gregory Corbin. After repeated low blows, so it doesn't matter how he got the win.
No,
but he got it. The prince is back.
Just when you're beating on people that bad, that's how they get out of there.
Yeah,
he didn't want to get knocked out. He's like, I'll just get DQ'd.
Boom. He's just gonna get DQ'd. But moving on, the Hangar in Costa Mesa, California, hosts an ESPN card this Saturday, March 23rd. Jesse Magdaleno, former super bantamweight world titleist, 25-1, who lost his title, was it last year or 27 to
Isaac Dogbe?
Isaac Dogbe, or is it Dogbo? Is it Dogbe or Dogbo?
Dogbe, I think.
I don't know. I've heard it two different times. We got to figure that one out too. All these names, man. I'm telling you, it's just hurting my grammar skills here. Magdaleno returns to the ring as he goes up against Rico Ramos. That sounds like a model name. Rico Ramos. 30-5. This is a comeback fight. You know, try to get his confidence back up. Try to get him back in the fold, right?
Yeah, I believe he's going to be moving up in weight after, you know, having trouble making the 122-pound limit. So this should be a...
Is this at 122 or 126?
I think this is going to be him moving up to 126.
It is, right?
I believe so. So it should be, it's going to be a good little test for him. Ramos captured the WBA super bantamweight title in July 2011 in Atlantic City with a one-punch knockout over Akifuma Shimoda. Eventually went on to lose the title to somebody who's actually just come back recently, Guillaume Rigondeau, via six-round knockout.
What?
So Ramos has been on a hot streak since 2015, knockout loss to Claudio Marrero, winning six in a row while campaigning both at super bantamweight and featherweight. So this should be a good fight. You know, Ramos is more of a is actually a comeback fight for Magdaleno, but he's definitely not going to be a walkover.
Better not be.
So I could see, you know, Magdaleno maybe coming in because, you know, he's always kind of had trouble making weight and looking a little bit soft. So I could see this actually being maybe a banana skin for him, you know, coming in, maybe not, you know, underestimating Ramos.
A banana skin.
So... should be a good fight. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I get it. You know, I think Top Rank's trying to build him back up, build his confidence back up. You know, ever since he lost the title, you know, he's kind of been on, you know, obviously his name hasn't been up there anymore because he doesn't have the world title anymore. So they're trying to build him back up, you know, which is cool. Hopefully it works out for him. You know, nice little test, especially if Ramos can at least provide some type of competition, you know, make some type of excitement in this fight. And also on that card, another heavyweight action. Heavyweight, who was actually just signed by Top Rank as well. Top Rank is signing a lot of people lately. Kubrat Pulev, who was mentioned as a possible opponent for Tyson Fury when Top Rank picked him up, and then when Fury jumped on with Top Rank and ESPN, Pulev, 26-1, goes up against Bogdan Dinu, who's 18-1. You know, in terms of name recognition, obviously this isn't really, you know, people don't know these guys.
Well, Pulev, I think people will maybe recognize, you know,
I mean, they'll recognize him, but like, I'm talking about, like, you know, in terms of the main heavyweight guys right now, Fury, Joshua, Wilder, and they all have casual boxing fan appeal.
Pulev's probably that rung below, more of a B level, if you class those as A.
Are we talking about B level in terms of skill? Or are we talking about B level in terms of notoriety? Like in terms
notoriety to the fans, I would say Pulev's maybe a B level.
No, but I'm talking about like casual fans, like Wilder. Wilder, Fury, and Joshua.
They're all well known.
Have degrees of being well known by the casual boxing fan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some more than the others, obviously. Pulev, nobody's gonna know who Pulev is in terms of the casual fans. I mean, hopefully I'm wrong. It's on ESPN. Is this on ESPN or ESPN Plus?
ESPN Plus, I believe.
So you have to buy the app.
I think so.
Five bucks? $10?
$5 a month. So it's like a Starbucks a month for all
Starbucks a month. So if you don't go to Starbucks, do they have Starbucks in the UK?
They do.
Are they as popular as they are in America?
We are running water in the UK.
What?
Mm-hmm.
What's the joke behind that? I don't get it.
you know, just we're not that far behind the Americans.
Ah. Oh, okay. All right. All right. We got a comedian. Mike's trying to be a comedian now. I don't know who he's auditioning for.
Part-time.
Part-time. Part-time comedian. I mean, I think Pulev obviously takes this, you know, and then they're going to, I mean, obviously Top Rank is signing, like, you know, just signed Carl Frampton. You know, he just inked the deal.
All the Frank Warren.
Billy Joe Saunders.
Big names seem to be stepping over.
Tyson Fury.
Signing a American deal with Top Rank. So it wouldn't be surprising to see like your Josh Warrington, Daniel Dubois, all those names, Billy Joe Saunders, eventually, you know, sign a deal with ESPN and Top Rank. But going back to the fight, I think Pulev should win that, really. His only loss was to Vladimir Klitschko via fifth round knockout back in 2014.
Which isn't nothing to be ashamed about.
He was supposed to face Joshua last year for because he's the IBF mandatory, I believe. Which ended up falling through when Pulev got injured and Carlos Takam, I believe, stepped in, if I remember rightly. Dinu, people may recognize he fought Jarrell Miller last year, got a fourth-round stoppage loss. So, you know, Pulev, he's a decent heavyweight. He's on the smaller side, so he's someone that you could see maybe Usyk facing further down the line because obviously Usyk moving up from cruiserweight. Pulev should win this, and I think eventually he'll have to you know, he'll get his mandatory shot at the IBF world title, whether it be this year or early next year. So he'll eventually get his fight with AJ.
I think he's hoping for. Get that payday.
I'm sure Eddie Hearn would rather that than him face, like, you know, the Wilder or the Tyson Furies.
But I mean, like, so. I think it's getting to the point where, you know, these guys need names. These guys need names. I mean, you know, Brazil, Pulev, like, they're not going to satisfy people's hunger for these heavyweight matchups. You know, people want to see the Furies against the Wilders again. They want to see the Joshuas against the Furies against the Wilders. They even want to see the Dillian White in there, you know? I think Dillian White even has, you know, he's kind of getting in the mix now and everything. So, you know, Luis Ortiz, you know? There's matchups to make. There's matchups to make in the heavyweight division.
Instead of wrapping them up in cotton wool and, you know, just keeping them safe away from all these other...
That's what's happening, man. That's what's happening, but, you know... It is what it is. And then also on that card, making his Top Rank debut, his debut under the Top Rank banner, Chris Van Heerden, 26-2-1, going up against, all right, you're taking this name. Say it.
Veteran Mahonre Montes.
I'll take it. I will take it.
8-1 with 24 KOs. Chris's first fight under the Top Rank banner. He's obviously not had too many fights over the last few years just due to, you know, promotional and obviously being in the inaugural Holyfield's Real Boxing WBC Jose Suleiman Welterweight Invitational
Tournament. That's a mouthful, man. That's a mouthful.
He fought in that April the 27th with a unanimous decision over Timo Schwarzkopf in Louisville, Kentucky. And then the whole tournament ran out of money and folded.
Folded. Yep. There was only one fight. That was it.
So Van Heerden's not had too many fights over the, you know, the last few years due to promotional and obviously that as well. So, you know, it'd be good to see him back, former IBO world title holder. He's changed trainers from Freddie Roach. He's now trained by multi-weight legend Brian Vellore at the Wildcard West.
That's intriguing. Vellore is, you know, transitioning to be a trainer now. And, you know, that's intriguing.
I'm hearing good things about him. Suppose he's one of those trainers that, you know, people say that he, instead of molding them to the style that he wants, he gets your best aspects, you know, and works on those. So, you know, he's not one of those trainers where everybody kind of has the same style, comes out looking the same way. So, which is going to be good. You know, Van Heerden's not exactly a big puncher. He uses his feet really well. He's always, you know, super fit, more of a combination puncher than, you know, like a one-punch knockout. So it should be good to see him back, get it back in the mix. You know, obviously signing with Top Rank, you know, Terence Crawford and people like that are going to be looking for opponents down the line.
Yeah, I mean, like, so, you know, obviously Top Rank's picking up all these people, a lot of Frank Warren guys. And obviously, I mean, you know, it kind of reading between the lines, Van Heerden's a welterweight. You know, he's competitive. You know, he's going to try to go get up and get through the ranks and try to get his name back out there, especially not fighting for a while and not fighting at all in 2017, at least. And, you know, I mean, Top Rank is going to need fighters for Crawford. You know, like, you know, he's fighting Khan, but, you know, Khan's past his prime, man. Like, everybody, you know, obviously everybody's picking Crawford in that. Of course, we'll touch on that as that fight gets closer. But, you know, would you be surprised if we see Van Herden in there with Crawford at one point or another down the line?
No, especially with all the other welterweights really being with PBC.
Yep.
Top Rank doesn't, exactly. You know, Top Rank tries to keep.
Well, like, Al Haymon does not, or is it vice versa? Or does Bob not work with Al Haymon? Nobody knows. You can say one side or the other.
Yeah, I don't think they really like to share. You know, keeping all their toys in their own pram, as they say. So I think you know, we'll see. You know, TC probably face like Van Herden, even maybe even Luis Collazo. Now he got a win at the weekend.
Yeah.
So
that's true. That's true.
Which is disappointing because, you know, we want to see him in with the big names. We want to see him in with, you know, your Sean Porters. You want to see him in with, you know, your Danny Garcias. I hear that Terence Crawford really wants a fight with Danny Garcia because Danny Garcia beat him in the amateurs.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I think Top Rank actually made an offer to Danny Garcia before the Khan fight. And I guess it didn't work out and they didn't want to take it or something. I mean, you know.
You know, Crawford beats Khan. Garcia beats Granados. You know, they're both fighting around the same time. They're both fighting in April. It's that fight we could see, you know, further down the line.
I think Al Haymon would let Garcia fight Crawford before he lets, like, Thurman, Spence do it.
You know, he's got a couple of losses on it, but he still has that name, I guess, you know, being a former world champion.
So. And I think Garcia, even though Garcia has, like, a couple losses now against Porter and Thurman, mm-hmm. Garcia's still an elite welterweight. Like, he's still doing this. He still finds ways to
It would be a good name on TC's record, Crawford's record, you know. People keep saying he needs those names.
So. Or Crawford could be a good name on Garcia's record.
Oh, that's true.
Think about that.
There we go.
Think about that. We don't want to get the Garcias mad now.
You don't want to get
Angel Garcia mad at the last round, all right? You know, if Angel, if you're listening, you got to come on the show. Come on the show and spew your guts. Spew your guts. Moving on. Sunday. We're getting a lot of Sunday fights lately the last few months. From the MGM National Harbor at Oxon Hill, Maryland on Fox Sports 1. Former opponents of Mikey Garcia and Errol Spence. Lamont Peterson goes up against Sergey Lipinets. And as people know, obviously, Mikey beat Sergey Lipinets at 140 pounds last year for the IBF junior welterweight title. And Spence beat Peterson a couple years ago. So now they're matching them both up. What do you think about this fight?
It's really like a crossroads fight for both fighters. You know, both recently been beaten. Both can't afford another loss on their record, really. So it's a good fight. Lamont Peterson probably needs it a little bit more than Lipinets does.
Lamont Peterson's fought pretty much everybody too.
Yeah, he's kind of been out in the wilderness for a little while. He's just kind of out there picking up fights, but he's never really been jumping on like many major cards. So it'd be a good fight. It just is dependent on, has Peterson got old over the last few years, you know, with being a little bit inactive. You know, Lipinets is always out there, a lot more of a warrior. How much will that affect him, you know, facing like Mikey Garcia, losing that one? I don't really know who to go for on this one.
And that's a tough one, huh?
Yeah, they're kind of...
I'm going for Lipinets.
You think Lipinets is going to take a rough win?
I think Lipinets, even though Mikey beat him, he gave Mikey some problems. He did give Mikey some problems in that fight. Yeah, Mikey knocked him down and, you know, ended up beating him, but Lipinets' power was no joke in there. Like, I know Mikey felt that power in that fight at 140 pounds. I'm going Lipinets. I think Peterson's just like, you know, yeah, he's still like a decent name and stuff, but I think just Peterson's just been in too many battles and too many wars, and Lipinets is still on the rise, even though he did lose to Mikey and lose his title. I'm going Lipinets. Does he stop him though? You know what? Lipinets stops him.
You know what? I'm gonna go Lipinets
in the seventh.
I'm gonna go Lipinets because Lipinets, I thought, performed very well against Mikey, you know. Even though he lost the fight, I thought Mikey was going to, you know, completely outclass him. Lipinets stayed in there, was dropped once, but it was more of a flash knockdown than really, you know, he didn't really look overly hurt. And I think Lipinets may just be the younger guy. And I think even though he has that warrior style where, you know, not much movement, he's not fleet of foot. But like you said, I think Lamont Peterson's had a long career. He's been in with a lot of people, and I think Lipinets will just be the younger, fresher guy on the day.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Lipinitz, seventh round knockout. You think it's a knockout or you think it's a decision?
I think Lipinitz beats him by decision.
So I'm going knockout and you're going decision? All right. I think I've been beating you the last couple months.
Oh, yeah. I've been...
You've been on a losing streak.
I've been picking too many fights with my heart instead of my head, like Mikey.
You've been King Gabriel Zotto with 12 losses lately.
I was surprised at that one. I actually thought you would have taken that over the...
In Philadelphia, too. In Philadelphia, yeah,
exactly.
Too. And also on that card, Lamont Peterson's brother, Anthony Peterson, is on that card against Arginus Mendez. Anthony Peterson, 37-1. He's younger, right?
He's a younger brother. Yeah.
37-1 is a pretty solid record. I mean, you know. Is it padded?
It's padded, yeah. That's the thing about Anthony. You know, I think he's obviously not getting any younger like the rest of us, but he needs to really step up his opposition instead of facing mediocre people. You know, his one loss was to Brandon Reyes by seventh round disqualification back in September 2010, which was actually a fight that he was actually dominating before getting disqualified. For throwing too many low blows.
Low blows, man. What the hell's going on around here?
Yeah, another disqualification for that. But, you know, he's coming back from a 14-month layoff. And I'm just wondering, is that going to be too much? You know, 14 months off, then fighting a load of mediocre people that he really should, you know, be beating anyway against Arjun Mendez. I'm actually going to go for a surprise here. I think Mendez may take it.
What?
You know, Mendez is... You know, held the IBF 130-pound title in 2013, 2014. And he lost it to Rancis Bartholomew.
Right.
So, at least, you know...
It's a pretty bold statement.
He's stepping up. Peterson fighting more of a name this time instead of, you know, just a lot of club fighters. So, then that long layoff. I think Mendez may sneak it.
You know what? I think I might buy into the hype. But not this time. I'm going Anthony Peterson.
Go for a Peterson double.
I'm going Peterson double. Well, not double, technically. Because technically I picked Lipinitz against his brother, Lamont. So I'm going Lipinitz against Lamont, stopping him in the seventh, and I'm going Peterson decision. Anthony Peterson decision. Majority decision.
I'm going to go Lipinitz and then Mendez.
And as we wrap up the show here, I wanted to touch on that we didn't touch on real quick on the Mikey Garcia, Errol Spence. Because after the fight, I don't know if you saw, but Oscar De La Hoya tweeted at Spence saying, hey, you know, congratulations, let me promote your next fight. Because technically they said that Spence is like technically a promotional free agent. Like he doesn't have a long-term contract with anybody, even though he probably has a contract with Al Haymon.
Mm-hmm.
And then Spence tweeted back at him saying something along the lines like, oh, you don't care about your black fighters or something. I was like, oh man, that was pretty intense. You know, I mean, what's going on there? And then
that makes no sense. Anthony Joshua's black.
And on the zone. And then Bob Arum, you know, I mean, I know he probably didn't tweet it, but Bob Arum from his Twitter account, somebody tweeted it. It's probably their PR or something. He tweets throwing some shade at Mikey Garcia saying, oh, pretty much saying that, unlike Mikey, Amir Khan always comes to win, and I wouldn't be surprised pretty much if he pulls off the upset against Terrence Crawford, which I thought that I was like, man, throwing shade, like, you know, like who kind of salty that Mikey left and drew 47,000 people at Cowboy Stadium. I mean, what's going on there, man? What's going on here, man? Everybody's, you know, does that make you respect Al Haymon more that he literally just stays in the shadows, like literally just stays away?
I think sometimes it makes more sense, you know, if you're the face of a business, sometimes you don't really need to be out there saying these different things, you know. They can twist what you say, misconstrue what you say, so sometimes it's kind of better just to stay in the shadows because, you know, Al Haymon doesn't have to put up with that, you know. He doesn't say anything.
Yeah, he just stays
quiet.
So
sometimes it's bad because he doesn't promote the fighters, but at the same time that people can't throw shade on him because they've twisted what he said or he accidentally said something when he kind of meant something else, you know? So I'm sure there's pros and cons to both, but, you know, the PBC does very well with him in the shadows.
They do, yeah. And it's been working for him, so, you know, it is what it is. You know, Premier Boxing Champions run by the the shadow figure, Al Haymon. But once again, thanks a lot for listening to episode 26 of TLR, The Last Round. And Mike, want to throw anything in there once again before we end it?
Just give us a follow on our Twitter at The Last Round 12 and also our Instagram at The Last Round 12. If you already follow us on there, just if you could retweet, you know, when we
help us out
when we launch the episode later tonight, episode 26.
And then, you know, as we mentioned before, tweet us, message us, DM us on Instagram, Twitter. If you want to see certain people on the show, call in or come into the studio. We're working on some people to come in the next couple weeks. So we've talked to quite a few people. So hopefully we get somebody next week, probably, right? We should have somebody. So for episode 26, I'm Danny Z. For Michael Shepard, this is The Last Round.
Thanks for supporting and listening to the show. Follow us at The Last Round 12 on social media. Rate, review, and subscribe. This is The Last Round 12.